I'm speaking with Charles Peters, who is the founder and former editor-in-chief of The Washington Monthly. He is a longtime Washington Observer and author of several books, including Lyndon B. Johnson, How Washington Really Works, and his autobiography, Tilting at Windmills. He writes a regular column also titled Tilting at Windmills for The Washington Monthly. Thank you for joining us on Background Briefing, Charles Peters.
I'm delighted.
So, obviously, the president's State of the Union tonight is anticipated in many ways as to continue from the Tucson speech, the idea that he's rebounding, and maybe this is the opening shot in the 2012 campaign. In spite of the possibilities of a couple of Republicans sitting with a couple of Democrats, what do you think is going to be different about this one?
Well, I pray that nobody says he's lying. Shouts like the last time. I pray that it is a great speech because I'm very sympathetic to Obama, and I pray that the Republican reaction is sane, that it is reasonable in its willingness to meet him halfway. However, I fear that with the influence of the Tea Party, that's not going to happen because the Tea Party people are, unfortunately, I think many of them were very well motivated, but the vast oversimplifications they indulge in, their theory that you can have everything they want without paying more taxes or. And even with further tax reductions, is really, it's just absurd. And but they have tremendous power in the Republican Party, and I fear their power is growing.
Yesterday, at Charles Peters, I spoke with Jonathan Alter, who said that the president, around Christmas time, when he was asked what he wanted for Christmas, he said, "I want to find some Republicans I can talk with and deal with."
I think the change in Washington since I came here 50 years ago is really remarkable in the lack of reasonable people in the middle on either side who are willing to talk to each other, for one thing, people stayed here on the weekends. They socialized together. Their families knew each other. It was very hard for you to think of the other guy as an outrageous criminal when you had dinner with him last night or your kids were going to school together, That doesn't happen anymore. They have to all go home to raise money on the weekends. They go home almost every weekend. So there's very little social interaction. The parties, the way that each party, whenever it controls redistricting in its state, it tends to create safe districts for its party, and the safe districts tend to represent the more, say, in the Democrats' case, the more liberals, and in the Republicans' case, the more right-wing conservatives. And unfortunately, the right-wing conservatives have taken on an almost antagonistic feeling that any compromise is beneath them. As I say, this terrible oversimplification about you can pay for the things they want without paying for them, and which is obviously wrong to anybody who knows anything about Washington, but. They feel that way, and because they feel that way, they support people like Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann, for heaven's sake.
So, Charles Peters, do you think that these ideologues on the Republican side, who, as you point out, obviously defy the laws of mathematics by wanting to give billionaires tax cuts at the same time reduce the deficit? Is their ideological zeal genuine, or are they sort of hiding behind ideology because essentially they don't really want to deal with the real issues, which seems to be the case, frankly.
Well, I think there's a great resistance in the country to dealing like with the real issues about the deficit, and they don't want to. You know, it's these people. I think the classic thing was the statement of in 2009, which was quite common, was at those rallies, was, "I don't want the government messing with my Medicare." Well, you know, without the slightest seeming awareness that Medicare was a government program. But there is just these vast inconsistencies and lack of understanding of the facts of the government, the thinking that they can cut massive amounts from the budget other than the entitlements and defense spending, there aren't vast amounts to be cut. I'll tell you one thing Obama is doing that worries me a little bit. This I've heard he's going to propose a freeze in government spending, and that worries me because while there are agencies that have more money than they need and could certainly take a freeze and take some cuts, there are some agencies that are under their appropriation is not nearly enough. They're underfunded. And this is particularly true of the regulatory agencies, which the Republicans in their years of power tended to starve of funds. And I think Obama, if he wants to have the regulatory agencies really work, he's got to give some of them more money. For instance, many of the regulations that are supposed to be adopted because of the Wall Street Reform Bill, those haven't been written yet because the agencies don't have enough people to do them all. This is really important. You're talking about how do you avoid another financial disaster? Well, you can't avoid it if you continue the inadequate regulation that led to the last financial disaster.
Well, of course, there is an expectation that this will be the Republican Congress's main tactic defunding.
Obama might be trying to get out ahead of it. I'm just telling you that I think what he has to do is carefully explain that some agencies do need more money. Mm. But maybe he will do that tonight. Maybe he will make distinctions, and I pray he does.
I'm speaking with Charles Peters, a founder of the Washington Monthly, and we're talking about President Obama's upcoming State of the Union tonight. And you mentioned a little while ago about how the members, both in the House and Senate, spend less time in town and less time with each other. That's and they right. go off fundraising all the time.
Right.
I recall Teddy Kennedy was asked a couple of years back before he died what was the biggest change in his long Senate career. And, you know, he's a close friend of Orrin Hatch's on the other side. He said,
right.
It's the fundraising. We used to work 5 days a week. Now we barely get started on Wednesday, do a bit of work on Thursday, and then back to the district to raise money over the weekend.
This is totally true, and it's a disaster for the Republic because these people the ability to think of the other guy as a monster, just outrageously wrong, and how can he say that? How can he be that way? All of that comes from not having human contact with the guy. And the more human contact with the guy, the more likely you are to understand that he's not a monster and to listen to him sometime.
But Charles Peters, doesn't this come down to the simple fact, at least from what I can get from what we're talking about here, is that if money controls Washington, then, and if the system is really about money, then people with money win and people without money lose. And has it become that simple?
Now, it's not quite that simple, because if you have an issue that can appeal to the public, that can get across, you still have a chance. The public was aware that some kind of reform was needed on Wall Street, and even though the bill was not as strong as some of us would want it, it was still went a long way toward getting the right kind of regulation in, or rather, at least some very desirable regulations on their way to being in. But again, if you don't have the people to do the enforcing, if you don't have the people to enforce at the FDA, the FDA has been well funded on the drug approval side, but it has not been well funded on the follow-up to what happens with the drug when it's actually used, so that it's been very slow to get on to where the drug, when things have gone wrong with the drug, to get on the case in time. In each case, there are cases where the agency will need more money. There are some cases where they will need less, but you have to know, it has to be informed. And this is the great problem with the great ignorance of government among the Tea Partiers. And I must say, a lot of Democrats aren't, liberals aren't that smart either, because they don't know enough about government to know where it's working, what's not working, and why.
Well, I think, in my opinion, for what it's worth, Charles Peters, we have two parties, the Republicans who don't believe in facts, and the Democrats who are overwhelmed by facts.
Yeah. Well, I think there are places where the Democrats are have fallen into error. I think for too long they, you know, so like they supported the teachers' unions without question, and I think that's begun to change. And Obama, I think, has been a good part of that change, and the administration policies on education. But a lot of Democrats still are very reluctant to criticize the teachers' union or the civil service unions, God knows, we've got a problem in many places with the excessive, the pensions that the public can't pay for.
Well, we also got a crisis in education, and the fact of the matter is that the dumber the electorate gets, the worse our politics are.
The education thing is just so scary, because we've got so far behind other countries in their education, public education, which was, 50 years ago, the great strength of this country. The great tragedy for this country was women's lib, because the teachers, we got all that great talent going into education, in spite of third-rate teachers' colleges and all the things that were wrong with the education, with the preparation of teachers. They got so many good people that they could try up over anything. And so with women's lib, with that free source of talent, or that source of bargain talent, gone, the decline of the public schools has just been rapid and scary.
Again, I'm speaking with Charles Peters, the founder of The Washington Monthly. We're talking about the upcoming State of the Union address. And what do you think, Charles Peters, is going to be discussed in terms of foreign policy? I just yesterday spoke with Jane Hampshire of Fire Dog Lake, who was prevented from visiting Bradley Manning, the young Army sergeant held in the brig at Quantico Marine Base. And You wrote recently about WikiLeaks. You actually, I found your piece very amusing. You said, yeah. Finally, an audience. The members of the Foreign Service owe a great debt to Julian Assange. He finally got their cables read.
Well, it's a touching thing that, because foreign policy is now so much controlled, it's kind of a top-down with the White House focusing and the top levels of the State Department focusing on just a few countries and one crisis after another. So you have all of the attention going to that. So the ordinary Foreign Service officer in the country that is not in a crisis mode or for some other reason the subject of a high administration priority, he can write the most profound observations, and they're not going, and really maybe one person in Washington is going to read them, and it's really it's quite pathetic, but it's true. And so the WikiLeaks got these guys read, but I do want to be careful not to say a blanket total endorsement of WikiLeaks. I think they were a little too careless in some of the things they let out. When you reveal what a head of a foreign official said to a state of a American public official in private, that is very dangerous, because that reveals what that shows that the communication between a foreign of source and our diplomats cannot be confidential, and sometimes it is very important for them to be able to think that what they say to our officials is confidential. So on the whole, I think the WikiLeaks were very good, were wonderful to get out there, but there were some of the things that did what I just said that I think you have to be very careful about not endorsing and realize they did some harm.
And Charles Peters, the president will have to address Afghanistan, and obviously it's one of the few things that the Republicans agree with him on.
Yeah.
But I think inherent in the Afghanistan situation is in firing McChrystal for insubordination, he had to take on Petraeus, and in taking on Petraeus, he's taking on Petraeus' strategy, and frankly, it's not going to go anywhere. And there's a lot of people that I talk to who say that we really are at a crisis in civil military affairs, where the military is running our foreign policy, at least when it comes to Afghanistan.
Well, I think... frankly, I don't think it's the military. I think it's just the terrible fear of that possesses. I think every Democratic president of losing a country to the other side. We can't lose China again. I mean, that's what.
Right. We can't look weak on the communists.
We can't lose Cuba again. And my God, it's just so. I think Obama is in a trap. I think what happened to him is he saw that the Afghanistan war was originally justified where the Iraq war wasn't. So he got in the campaign to portraying Afghanistan kind of by contrast as the good war in contrast to Iraq. Well, in the sense that it was originally justified, it was a better war than the war in Iraq. But in the sense of what the situation when he came in, it was an impossible situation, because Karzai is hopeless and that government is hopelessly corrupt. What we found out in Vietnam is that if you're working with a hopelessly corrupt government, there ain't nothing you can do to prevail. You cannot prevail, because you have to be working with a government that it has the confidence of the people.
So, So again, I'm speaking with Charles Peters, founder of the Washington Monthly, just to sort of broaden our perspective in terms of other presidents and State of the Unions and the extent to which it seems that we've gone almost from night and day from George W. Bush, who was an anti-intellectual, and I think history will judge him as one of the worst presidents we ever had.
I agree with that.
To this extremely talented man who's been handed this incredibly bad hand.
I think that's a great statement of the problem. It's really he got the worst hand that you could imagine.
So at the end of the day, though, you hinted at something which is troubles me, and that is that it's possible that there will be an even greater conservative takeover of this country because of the Citizens United decision allowing unlimited money, and they're going to be spending billions, at least a billion in the next in 2012.
I think one thing you can't often ignore it is the Republican control of so much redistricting that's going to, and so a lot of new safe Republican districts are going to be created.
But what about their echo chamber in the press? Being able to poison the political atmosphere?
Oh, well, with Fox News, it's horrible, and and so much of the press doesn't correct. They don't correct what's wrong. They don't the stories that correct the lies of from the Tea Party side, from the Republican right, from Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh and all those people. The story, the correction of those things, they run. They're buried in subheads on page 22. You know, they're not given the prominence that they get on Fox, only occasionally on MSNBC,
right.
Network, do they get countered. Unfortunately, MSNBC doesn't have the swag that Fox does.
So just in closing, though, Charles Peters, do you think, though, that we have reached a critical mass in terms of whether or not as you know, a lot of people said that the president's speech in Tucson, the memorial for the people who were shot down there, was a call to the better angels of our nature. So, but on the other hand, you know, if he runs against Sarah Palin and everybody dismisses her as an idiot, which I think is a fairly fair description of her, nevertheless, there's so much hostility, so much anti-intellectualism. It's difficult for me to know whether talented people matter anymore and whether we have a competent president, whether it matters anymore, and people are just angry and they'll vote for people just like them.
Well, I'll give you a little reason for modest optimism on that score. I am very confident that Obama will win in 2012, very confident. I think the contrast between him and all the other available candidates is just too dramatic in his favor. What I fear, and I really fear this, is that Obama could win by 52-53%, and you'd still get a Republican House because of the redistricting. And that could really happen, and that's quite frightening to me because those people will keep. I'm afraid they will keep anything important from good from happening in the next 2 years. And they would do it again. They would continue to do it if they are elected in 2012. But as for Obama, I think we will have a President Obama for 8 years.
Well, I thank you for joining us here today in advance of the State of the Union, Charles Peters. And again, I've been speaking with Charles Peters, who is the founder and former editor-in-chief of The Washington Monthly. He is a longtime Washington Observer and author of several books, including Lyndon B. Johnson, How Washington Really Works, and his autobiography, Tilting at Windmills. He writes a regular column, also titled Tilting at Windmills, for The Washington Monthly. Let's take a brief station break, and we'll come back talking with an historian to put the State of the Union into historical context.